somebody around you as you're seated. Let somebody know you care about them. How marvelous, how all over the building, let's join with Sister Ellen and sing that.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous,
hallelujah. Can the church say amen? Thank you, musicians, singers. To God be the glory for the Holy Ghost, for His touch, His unction, His insight. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, we are never snared by the devil. Do you understand? I know you do, but there is more value than walking in the Spirit than it can be described. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you'll always be where you need to be, when you want to be, and how you want to be. Walk in the Spirit and you'll always be ready. Man, there's a lot of value in walking in the Spirit. I do appreciate the contacts that have been made through the day concerning this morning service. That's history, and we're on a new chapter tonight. But I cannot emphasize too strongly the value of you voting. I have not stood in this pulpit and tried to tell you a name. But we need to vote. We need to vote for local people, for statewide people that we're supposed to vote for, and for the national election. There will be a packet of voter guides. These are just generic. They tell you who the person is, what office they're running for, and what party affiliation they have. And they'll be on the table in the hallway hopefully by next Sunday. And you can read up on it. This is what they embrace, this is what they do not embrace, and so forth. You are created to be a contributor. Now we lose sight of that by wanting to be a recipient. But the scripture says it is better to give than to receive. You cannot be a contributor to the things of God without you coming out better. Brother Larry taught a wonderful lesson this morning. And it was slow response, but they finally come across, Brother Larry. And I sit there and I was thinking, now he's going to tear my Sunday night service sermon all to pieces. But he skirted around it and left me a few fragments of bread and fishes. Romans chapter 12. I gave Brother Craig the scripture, and then I was going to add to it, and I saw Brother Craig wasn't manning the controls. So we're going to see how it goes. I want to talk to you tonight on the idea that you, somebody say you, have a gift. God has not looked over his body of believers and said, there's a certain caliber of people. They'll get gifts. I'm here to tell you, according to the Bible, every believer in this building has a gift. Do you believe that? Now, our job, our duty, and our call is to discover that gift. I will give you a hint. Grumbling is not a gift. It's a frequent partaking of it, but it's not a gift. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Listen to the meat of it now. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and he's going to list 7 different gifts. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Did you get that? I'm going to ask our gentlemen in the sound booth if they can help me do Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 and 12. My intention is to stay back here and try to communicate with you. That's my intention. I'm not going to resist the Spirit if he begins to move me around. But I want Ephesians chapter 4. This is a list of gifts that are given to the church. And I want you to, if they've got them, yeah, they've got them there. Acts chapter 5. You're off one chapter, brother. They're going to get you straight up there, Brother Gary. Are y'all with me? 4:11. Okay, let me go ahead and read it. They're doing a good job. He gave some, somebody say some, apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That is called the fivefold ministry of the church. And a church, to be in the will of God, needs to have these offices. Amen? And he gave them to the church for a reason. Verse number 11, 12. For the perfecting of the saints. You become perfected under the ministry of the Word of God and under the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He brushes off the rough edges. He shapes you up, okay, for the edifying, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. No gift in this catalog that I'm reading is for your personal pleasure. All of the fivefold ministries are for the edifying of the church. Am I talking to you? Now, how long will this go on? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the Spirit. In the unity of the Spirit. There's no Lone Rangers. We submit to each other. Oh God, help me. To the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, mature man, fully developed, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right, I'm going to ask you to go to one more place, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 28. This is the spiritual gifts. Are y'all with me? Chapter 12 and verse number 28. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Isn't it amazing that prophets and teachers and come before miracles? Then gifts of healings, helps. Oh, I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of miracles. I don't have the gift. Well, look at that little word that said helps. Am I talking to anybody? I don't have to have spiritual revelation to be a helper. Amen? I don't have to have goosebumps to be a helper. Oh, Lord, help me. Governments, diversities of tongues. You have a gift. Are y'all going to help me out tonight? Father, I'm standing here before people that I love, and I feel the burden in my heart as a shepherd that we all need to be wading out in deeper water than we are, that we all need to have a greater expression of your love and your glory than we do. Be glorified in the things that are said and done in this meeting tonight. I thank you for the wonderful spirit, the songs that have been sung, the worship that has gone on, and now we pray for your blessing upon the word. Amen. In this 12th chapter of Romans, Paul tells us how to live out the Christian life. And he starts it all off by saying our duty is to present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's our call. It's our duty. He goes through this 12th chapter, and it tells us how to handle things. And so there's a process of surrender. You understand that you remember you're not a church of your own. You're a member of the body of Christ. Sister Elizabeth was relating to me before church about a sermon she heard from David Wilkerson about the body and the separation of a limb. A limb separated from your body can live, approximately can survive and to be redone about 18 hours. A Christian believer separated from the body of Christ will not last 18 days. Now they still got the They still look the same. They still know when to say praise God. They still know the gymnastics to go through. But when you separate yourself from the body of Christ, you are going downhill. You'll die. You need the fellowship. You need the fellowship of the saints of God. It strengthens you. It builds you up. So listen, we're likened unto a body that's made up of lively stones of many built up together. And understanding the purposes of God in the body, which is number one, to win the lost. God's purpose for me is not to know prophecy about Daniel and Revelation and who the mark of the beast, what the mark of the beast. That's good. Let's study that. But that's not God's purpose in mind. God's purpose for the church is not to meet together and study prophecy in long range terms. God's purpose for the church is to win the lost. There's nothing that supersedes that. That's the purpose. That's why we're called. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness out there? We find out that we need, he gave us these gifts to win the lost, to train the converts, and then we find out what their capabilities are. We need to get people groomed and schooled in the things of the Word of God. Am I talking to you? Now, there are seven gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. Seven. And every one of us in this room tonight has one of these gifts. And Jesus said in Matthew 25 that if we don't use the gift, we lose the gift. He gave talents, gifts. One man had five, one man had two, and one man had one. When they were to be accounted for, the one with five, look what I've done. The one with two, look what I've done. The one with one said, I knew what kind of man you are. I had this. And ladies and gentlemen, we cannot hide the gift that God has given us. We cannot do it. Whatever gift you have, if you're hiding it, if you're embarrassed by it, if you're intimidated by it, you are depriving somebody of something that they need. Amen? Be a blessing. We're called, Peter said, to be a blessing. We're not called just to be blessed. I know the emphasis goes there a whole lot now, but I'm called, you're called to be a blessing to somebody. We ought to be looking for opportunities. I told you that Wednesday night. We should be looking for opportunities to be a blessing. Amen. How can I bless? David said, is there any left of the house of Saul where I can bestow grace and mercy upon? He's looking for it. He's not sitting in his recliner waiting for it to come to him. He's actively searching for it. He's got an abundance of mercy. He's got an abundance of grace. I want to give it away. You don't heap it up to yourself. You let it flow out of you. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah to God. Somebody praise him. So therefore, every believer has at least one of, I'm not saying one is all. Now, these are not the gifts of the Spirit. Miracles and signs and faith, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about more practical gifts. And so we understand prophecy. The word prophecy is not foretelling. It can be used in that, but not in this text. The word prophecy is forthtelling. Y'all gonna make, Brother Larry, you left that spirit up here this morning. Forthtelling, I prophesied this morning to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I foretold. I didn't give you any secrets of the universe. I projected undeniable truth. So you can say, well, the pastor prophesied to me this morning, to the church this morning. I gave you the Word of God. And the Word of God says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that prophecy and tongues and interpretation balance out. Am I right? Prophecy is a different than preaching. It's different than just some are quiet. Some prophecies, when somebody stands up and testifies and they're proclaiming the Word of God, they're, in a sense of the word, they're prophesying. They're projecting the things of God. They are ordained to instruct, to convert, and to edify. Hallelujah. Not everybody can do that. Sister Ellen tonight testifying. She was projecting the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So you could go out and in reality say, our piano player prophesied tonight. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah, God. See, we want prophecy to be, hey, brother, I just got a word from the Lord. You're supposed to buy that blue car instead of the yellow car. You know, that's foolishness. I heard one of the television preachers in 2001. They were talking about the New York tragedy. And it was really neat. It was really good. He just said he didn't smile. He said, where were all the prophets at? You know, they're supposed to have all these revelations. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Prophesy. Prophecy is a gift that people have. Some people can testify and you can't wait for them to sit down. But some people can get you caught up in what they're saying. It's not that they practice it. It's just that it's got an unction to it. It's got a life to it. And so Paul said in Romans chapter 12, one of the gifts one of the abilities in the church is prophecy. He put that at the head of the class. Prophecy. Amen. Am I talking to you? They're ordained to correct. You know, when you go around correcting people, you better make sure you're in the spirit. Because most people don't take corrections very well. They might smile, but in their heart they're saying, what a jerk you are. You know, I mean, we need to be, before we pass opinions out, we need to make sure that we're in the spirit of God. I have had people, and it was a blessing to me, speak to me or either call me up and say, you know, I just wanted to encourage you with thus and thus and thus. They did not know. They didn't have an insight on what I was going through, but it was precisely to the degree, to the letter of what I needed. That was a revelation from God. They prophesied. Now, I don't think this applies to me calling everybody up here tonight and say I'm going to prophesy over you. I'm not saying that's not a part of the 1 Corinthians 12 package. I'm not saying that. But in Romans chapter 12, I don't believe that's what it's talking about. Somebody help me, Lord, help me, Jesus. Ministry, the second gift in chapter 12 of Romans, or ministry. Ministry is, the meaning of ministry is to serve. That eliminates half the church. To serve. It's the gift of serving. If you serve and begrudge it, you don't have the gift of serving. If you do anything for God and begrudge it, you're messing yourself up. But to serve, I mean, this ministry, you don't have to be ordained. You don't have to have credentials. You can just find the need and fill it. Amen? I mean, step right into a need. This is the volunteer who will put their gifts first in their life. They want to serve. We have funerals. And if it's people in our church, usually the normal thing is we serve them in the fellowship hall. And we've got some wonderful servers. I'm serious. I mean, they just step up to the plate. If they begrudge it, they got me fooled. And the reason I like them so good, because one of them fixes me a plate every time. How can you not like it? Service. Amen? Am I talking to you? You see, they're ready to help. They're ready to sit with you. When you're sick, they're ready to do whatever they can. And to them, it is no burden. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. They're always wanting to know what they can do. And they're scarce. Brother Melvin is a wonderful servant to this church. Brother Larry conveys to him what needs to be done. And Brother Melvin gets it done. He's changed light bulbs, all of stop water spigots and everything. And he actually, he may have me fooled big time, but he acts like he does not mind it one bit in the world. So therefore, go ahead. Therefore, I don't mind asking him. I mean, that's, you know, some people are gifted in different things, but let me tell you something right now. Serving God in these kind of areas is wonderful. I needed to go to Florida to see my brother and my sister. And one of the servants of our family said, I'll take you. He's sitting right over there. And it was a blessing. That, I mean, I know unsaved people can do these things, but if you're saved, these are gifts and graces from God. Amen. Service, I mean, you know, that's the gift of ministry. It's the ministry of serving. They don't view what they're doing as a burden. Oh, dear Lord, I promise Sister So-and-so I'd go by and I'll grit my teeth and I'll go and I'll put a smile. That's helping, but that's not serving. Am I talking to you? Every church has them, and I thank God we have them. I hadn't filled a communion set up in 2 or 3 years. I was wondering when it would finally feed over and catch on. It took Brother Craig several years. But Brother Fraley did it faithful. Yeah. But these men, and Brother Jim is the cleaner upper. Am I right, Brother Jim? I never asked him. He just saw a need and he stepped in. Now, I know we're not jumping up and down and shouting, but I'm telling you, this is practical stuff. We are so self-centered. We've got to be at here at this place at that time to do this duty and that, and we lose the pleasure of serving one another. We really do. I don't have to worry about the generator. I got a generator man sitting right over there. It's good. The difference, the distinction is, when y'all need generator men, don't call me. Am I talking to you? Are y'all getting anything out of this? I mean, I'm in a different zone than I was in this morning, but we don't want to stay in that same zone all the time. Serve. I'm a servant of the Lord. That's first of all. Serve Him and come before His presence with thanksgiving and serve Him with gladness. There's something that grieves the heart of God when our duty is a duty. Something wounds the heart of God when what we ought to be doing becomes drudgery. I'm quite sure that there are pastors that their pastoring duties has become a drudgery to them. The joy is gone. It's true. If you are not a shepherd, don't try to be a shepherd. You just mess yourself up. You get all befuddled about things but if you're a shepherd, don't be anything but a shepherd. I wouldn't dare. One year we had 3 or 4 people left here and went to the state office because they wanted to talk about being interrogated for credentials. And the committee at the state office weighed them out and said this and this and this. And they were very honest. Somebody said, I want to be a preacher. Okay, you want to be a preacher? That's just a verbiage. But if you want to be a preacher, there's got to be something more than I want to be a preacher. Amen? And if you go, well, let's move on. Teaching. Are y'all with me? We're talking about prophecy, we're talking about ministry, and we're talking about teaching. And the article I read about this said they are lovers of good books. And there's no book better than the Bible. They study the Word of God. If you're going to be a teacher, please be kind to us in this class. Don't pick up your Sunday school lesson on Sunday morning at 8:30. I got it. You got it, all right. The time to start studying your Sunday school lesson is Sunday afternoon before the next Sunday morning. If you just do nothing but read it. 2 or 3 days, get it ingested in you. Because you have got a humongous responsibility. Standing in front of people, telling them about the Word of God. You are conveying eternal values. You hold the soul of people in your hand, so to speak, when you are teaching the Word of God. The person that's got the gift of teaching, are y'all following me, would not be interested in volunteering. See, you got to work in your sphere. The person that is a teacher, that's the gift, would not be interested in some of these other things. Hello? I mean, it's not their gift. But they will sit with someone, encourage someone, and tell them all about the Scripture. If your job is teaching, you're not going to be happy sweeping the floor. But you get a chance to sit down beside somebody and say, and they ask you, well, what does Romans chapter 12 mean? Oh, they done put the accelerator on you. Because that's the gift. That's where you excel in. You've heard the illustration. There's a man, living now or not, I don't know. But he was known, Bob Harrington was his name, and he was known as the chaplain of Bourbon Street. And he ministered on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. He was a dynamic soul winner. And one day, you've heard me tell this, so don't act ill. One day, he said, I'm tired, I need a vacation. I'm just, for 7 days, I will not talk to anybody about their soul. I'm tired, I'm burnt out, I've got to have relief. He planned his vacation out, bought the airplane ticket, and in that day, you could sit where you wanted to if there was a seat available. And so he sat down, got comfortable, leaned back the chair, whatever, and he felt a tap on his shoulder. And there was a lady who said, sir, I wonder if that seat's saved. He lost it. He said, I don't know about the chair, the seat, but let me tell you about salvation. And so the plane took off, and he's still talking about it. See, if your job is ministering, like it's teaching, that's where you thrive at. If your job is volunteering, that's where you thrive at. Whatever gift you have, you're going to enjoy. It's not going to be a duty or a drudgery. It's going to be something that you're excited about. Amen? And that's what we need to get a hold of. So therefore, these people, teaching, they were set with somebody to tell them about the Scriptures, about the Word of God. One of our pastors was in a revival. And the evangelists come in, and so they went for breakfast at a local Waffle House or wherever they were. And the pastor said something about the soul, about the Bible. And the evangelist said, well, let's not talk shop. When the Bible comes to the point where you're talking about shop, you need to get out. You need to get out. All right, exhorter. Number four, are y'all keeping up? Has anybody discovered some of the tendencies of you? I was looking to see. Exhorters are God's cheerleaders. They'll get on your nerves. They're always happy. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And they catch you on the day that you just don't feel like listening to them. Hello? And they just let it go. It's like they trap you. One of the best exhorters that I ever met was Sister Betty Avery. I don't know that she ever had a bad day. I don't know that she ever had anything to complain about. I really don't. Glory to God, get ready. She wrote a song, and she sung it. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You'd have to know her. She was a saint of God. That woman loved God, and there's no question in my mind about it. She was an encourager. She was an exhorter. It just blessed my heart being around her because she was exuberant all the time. And I said, Lord God, she's dying. She's leaving the church, going to heaven. But let some of what she has brush off upon some of us. She'd go to jail in Greenville to the detention center, and she'd call us up. I had 17 people saved today. I said, glory to God. They're always going on about their duty, their privileges, exhorting people to hold on. Brother Bernie's mother, Sister Ethel, she was an exhorter. You check on her, how are you doing? And she had such a genius about her that turned that thing back around and said, how are you doing? That's what we need. Giving, that's number five, just in case. Giving is a gift. Boy, y'all getting quiet now. Am I right? I'd rather have the ability to give and give than to not have the ability and to not have to give what I had the ability to give. There are some people that's their gift. It's just the ability. And we've got people in this church that through the years you have shown that was your gift. You didn't blow your horn. You didn't make any to-do about it. You just went about the business of taking care of the gift that God gave you. And you have, through the years, you kept people on their feet. There's a man within 5 miles of this place right here. There's a gentleman. And every once in a while, he'll see my car under the porch out there, whatever you call it. And he'll stop and he rings the bell. And I come and we set in the foyer. I don't invite him in my office because it might be all day. So I set in the foyer. And we talk, and he's just a rare person, just a wonderful person. He said, I wanted to bring this gift by and ask you to make sure it got into some hands that needed it. I trust you. Well, that puts a burden on my shoulder, but it's his gift. And then I lay it up, and I say, Lord, you show me where, when, and it won't be long before a phone call comes or a crisis comes and something happens in our church, and I'm giving his gift to you. And I always say, it didn't come from the preacher. don't go around telling people the preacher. Now, there's some, I want to defend my, there have been some times. There have been a few times that God blessed me and I was able to give you a holy handshake. Have you ever had a holy handshake? You feel something crumpled in there? Glory. Giving. There's some people who have this as a special gift and they go beyond the call of duty. We've got people sitting in this building tonight that it would blow your mind, if that's a proper state, of what they have given. And they've done it without any fanfare. They've done it without any I need to be recognized, get me my income tax paper. No, none of that. They just, it's who they are. They just give. Amen. The church in Greenville, South Carolina, several years ago burned, and they didn't have adequate insurance. And Earl Palt was the pastor of the church. It was one of the largest churches in the denomination. And he felt the responsibility on his shoulders of raising funds to get the church built back. 3 radio stations in Greenville, South Carolina met together and hooked up their facilities that he could go to one station and broadcast for a couple of Sunday afternoons and present the need. They were trying to raise money. So he did, and the steel mill said, we'll donate steel and different ones. And people called in and made pledges. His wife said, Earl, we had a call this afternoon from a street down in Greenville. He knew the street number, the neighborhood, and he said, I don't have time to. He brushed it off. I don't have time to mess with that. I've got to get this money raised. His wife said, if it had been some big shot, you'd have gone down there. But you know the address, and you know there's nothing down there, so you... See, and I think it's a shame and disgrace. So he got whipped real bad, and he goes down there, and there's a young boy laying on a cot, a hospital bed in the front room, and Brother Paul introduced himself, and the young boy said, you're my pastor. Said, of course I know you. You're my pastor, living, you know. He said, how is the fundraising coming? Brother Paul said he was irritated. He wanted to get in, get out, get on. And he said, it's coming. Well, here I want to make my gift. And it had a fruit jar with some change in it. He said, this is my gift to build our church back. 57 cents. 57 cents. Brother Paul walked to the car and got in it frustrated. He could have, there was an hour there that he could have been somewhere else with the big shots raising money. And the Holy Ghost told him, you have never seen in your ministry, ever seen in your life, an offering as big as that offering. He went to the radio station and he told the public what happened. The phone lines lit up. 57 cents brought in the cash money to build a brand new church. Amen. The gift of giving. When you give, it don't just stop with what you give. It takes on a life of its own. Amen. Are y'all up with me? It was a wonderful spirit here singing. Number six, ruling. Let me pause, just say, the person who has the gift of giving in some way or other will always have something to give. The money supply may cease, something, I don't know. But when you have the gift of giving, you'll be able to give something in some way. Give your time, give you whatever. Amen. Number six, ruling. In the scripture there, it's got it. Verse number eight, he that ruleth. Now this ruling is administration gifts. These are the managers. They're necessary. They want people to be on time. They want every detail covered. They keep up with everything. They are organized. I am not a ruler. I've got a filing system. I got a drawer, you pull it open and you throw the piece of paper in there. A year later, you say, what did I do with that piece of paper? And the thought comes, it's in my filing cabinet. And I pull the drawer open, no deal. Administration, it takes insight and wisdom from people, encouragement from people. Am I talking to you? See, you know, they want, I've got some kinfolk that I couldn't live with. Because everything's got to be just right for them. Anybody ever met that person, those people? I didn't say look to your wife or your husband. I'm talking about everything. You know, they just want, it's a showcase. They want everything right. I'm not that way. You know, I come in, sometimes I leave my shoes on, sometimes I take them off. Most time when they're clean, I take them off. Mercy. Did you know that mercy is a gift? Verse number eight, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Am I talking to you? The person who is gifted to listen. Boy, that's a ministry. That's a ministry. People will come and talk with me about an issue of their heart, their life. And I'm being open and transparent, and it'll be very serious things that they're talking about. And they stand up to leave after 25, 30 minutes, and they say, I feel so much better now. You have really helped me. And I'm thinking, here's really the truth. Here's how I helped you. I listened. Actually, they didn't ask me for any advice. They had turbulence in their heart. They needed to get it out. And when they get it out, then they can face life. Am I talking? God help us to have listeners in our churches that can listen to the pain and the perplexity and offer a solution. Offer, if their need, if advice is recruited, give them advice. Amen. So the person who is gifted to listen will often offer words of encouragement. Brother Linwood. There ain't but one Linwood Woolard. He's so precious, just like you are. But he'll pat me on the shoulder. Now, how you doing? Now, really, don't mess with me. How are you doing? I'm doing fine, Brother Linwood. No, I'm concerned about you. I'm worried about you. I said, you got more health problems than I do. But he that's a genuine feeling. You know, he just shows mercy. Amen? And we need people to, somebody comes to the altar, and we got people in our church that come out of the aisle, out of the pew, and they come down and kneel to encourage them, to show them mercy, to show them that there's a supporter. Amen? We need that. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Does anyone here remember who was around you the night that you knelt in an altar? Anybody? Something bonds. Am I right? Something clicks. I remember there was three men kneeling around me, and they were loving me the best way they could. If they could have carried me to heaven right then, they would have. They were showing mercy. And later on, I realized how badly I needed mercy. Amen. What is the message? What has the pastor said so up to this point? It is this: every member is as important as the other member. I joke and carry on about singing, but I love to sing. That shocks y'all. I would go in the jail at Johnson County. It was a large facility. And there was a little guy that carried a guitar and a banjo. He was loaded. We would get in the elevator, and he said, "Well, we're going to have church tonight." I said, "Why do you carry a guitar and a banjo?" He said, "Some songs are banjo songs, and some songs are guitar songs." I said, "How can you know the difference?" He said, "You just learn it." We get in the jail, in the cell block, and we start to, you know, this block here, we go around, and the news would spread, because it was a large facility. And there'd be a lot of inmates, a lot of prisoners in there. And the preacher's coming. It was every Monday night. So they want me to sing. I say to the guitar player, "Give me an F." I mean, I keep a straight face. I wouldn't, you know, as if I knew what an F was. And the guitar player, he would give me, you know, I believe he was honest. And I sing, "I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold." And after a few months of singing that, they say, "Here comes that darkened prison man." But they needed mercy. They needed mercy. Amen. What is the message? Every member is as important as the